enough to tempt your palate and to make the rounds on the town in a maximum limousine. You found the right radio show for a couple of guys who are in the know about the best places to go in the local scene. Executive Chef Fred Genovese and his guests will cook and saute. They share their food and they share their recipes. Kevin Jenkins, he's a fat man jumping in on the pots and pans. So don't touch that dial if you please. Chef and the Fat Man, Chef and the Fat Man. Why should you ever trust a cook that isn't portly? You found the right radio show for a couple of guys who are in the know about the best places to go in the local scene.
Oh, my friends, my friends. You are so unfortunate not to be in Greenville, South Carolina today, because it's the heart of CUDA, my friends. All the culinary geniuses in barbecue, all the giants, the legends, they're all here, all under one roof, and out in the parking lot.
Why, thank you, Kevin.
Well, yeah, Papa, settle down, will you? And speaking of legends in culinary, oh, God, the one man who sucked up the rehearsal walker more than BJ, the
nice
Goomba, the Goomba of goodies. Goomba, what are you doing now? You're doing incredible chicken.
We're working on incredible
rundown,
chicken.
What's going on?
I've cooked off some bacon, which Smithfield bacon. Can't go wrong with a good start.
Anything, when you hear Smithfield, you think of pork.
Actually, when I think of Smithfield, unfortunately, because I've had to work with her a few times, is Paula Deen.
Stop it.
Well, I'm just saying.
Shameless name dropper. Now, listen, Edmund Wu is in the house, so you better make a good recipe here because he's going to diss you if you don't.
Well, you know, I can't go to his restaurant and diss him because, oh, that's right, I didn't get to
listen,
go.
I enjoyed working with Paula Deen and Mike.
No, oh, please. You know, you guys just suck up and
well,
suck
up. Well, I invited
up.
You, but you didn't show up. Anyway. So we got the chicken going. We got the bacon going.
Okay.
Cook the bacon first. Then I cook the chicken off in the bacon fat.
How more perfect can that be?
So now we're going to go ahead and work down these onions just a little bit. Turn the heat down just a little bit. And then what we're going to do, Kevin, I got some French bread.
Nice. Is that a new pan?
No, it's like a 100-year-old cast iron pan.
Oh.
Keep your eyes and mitts off of it. Because I know Herschel, and he'll run you down.
Oh, please.
So anyway, now we're going to go ahead and start slowly caramelizing these onions.
Nice.
And then we're going to take the bread and we're going to toast it in the pan. So it's going to pick up the onion, the bacon, and the chicken flavor. Toast it.
Oh.
And then we're going to put the bread down. Then a piece of chicken on top of that.
Oh.
Then some bacon on top of that. And then some onion on top of that. And then I've got some, what's it called? Oh, yeah, Boar's Head Red Wax White Cheddar Cheese.
So
I'm going to put a lid on and melt that. And that will be your incredible chicken. A.K.A. kind of as an appetizer or as a main course.
Well, if you want to
but
talk
I want to be wooed by something else, so let's
you do?
Go. I do.
Oh, that was a nice segue.
Thank you. Yes. I rode the Mercedes, and the segue was too far.
Well, let me tell you something. We're going to woo you all with an incredible young man who has a restaurant in Greenville, South Carolina. Now, for those of you who've never been to Greenville, it's north of the perimeter. About 2.5, 3 hours.
OTP.
OTP, for those of you in Atlanta, our faithful listeners who never
venture
get outside,
OTP.
Never get out there. You're missing someplace. We were talking last night. We were like agonizing, Papa and BJ and I were agonizing. Where are we going to go to dinner? There's some okay places here in town. Several people came up and said, well, what do you want to eat? Do you want to eat barbecue? I said, eat barbecue. I've been eating Smithfield all day long. Where do I go from there, from the greatest barbecuers in the world? They said, well, how would you like some elk? And I laughed. I said, yeah, right. In Greenville, South Carolina, I'd find elk. Oh, yeah. If not, there's the venison. Then there's the duck and the quail. And, oh, by the way, you can get a great steak. Enough said. We got to go.
You had me at meat.
And it was Saskatoon. And all the guys got a chance to, who got here on Wednesday, got a chance to go over there and check out his restaurant. And even though barbecue is not on his menu, they all came back and said, oh, my God, the place rocks. The ambiance is right on. The food is right on. And then we found out, as you know, we've reviewed over 350 restaurants.
Yep.
The service was impeccable. How about that?
Crucial.
We'd like to welcome to the microphones of Chef and the Fat Man, one of the two owners, because when I talked to him last night, I said, are you the owner? He goes, no, my wife is. So
smart
he
man.
Lies just as perfectly as his food is excellent. Edmund Wu. Edmund, welcome to Chef and the Fat Man, baby.
Thank you, Kevin.
How you
Appreciate
doing?
Appreciate it. Glad to be here.
Now, you have a, I mean, really, literally, Your father passed away at an early age. You had to get on. You were literally doing your homework at 10 years old at the cash register.
Oh, yeah.
And a very strong work ethic. And what I really appreciated about the fact that you're an American.
Mm-hmm. Born and raised.
And you, even though you have a rich Asian culture to support, you're American. You're an American first. And when I read that and the way you pronounced it, I said, wow, I got to check this guy out. You built an empire here in Greenville. Mm-hmm. You and your family really literally did.
Oh, yes. Yeah, we were the first family here with a Chinese restaurant, the first Chinese restaurant between Charlotte and Atlanta.
Man.
Back in the 50s.
Now, of course,
he
you would.
Good for that.
Yeah, he looks real good for managing a place at that age. But, Edmund, now, of course, then you've traveled extensively.
Mm-hmm.
You've got degrees out the wazoo. You've done mm-hmm. everything that you can possibly do to make a family proud. But more importantly, you decided you were going to go over and go to Taiwan. And now you spoke Chinese, but you didn't speak Mandarin.
Right.
And so you went over and you found an instructor that was very lively, vivacious, and really
yeah.
good. And what did you do?
proposed.
Well, there you
it
go.
Seemed like a good idea at the time.
Well, and I guess the rest is legendary. She yeah. comes back, and I remember reading an article about her where she said she'd never cooked a pancake before.
Yeah.
But boy, she had to learn, didn't she?
Yeah, at that time, we had a 18-hour diner. Opened at 6 in the morning, closed at 2 a.m.
Now, what gave you the idea for Saskatoon?
Well, we were looking for a niche, and that we, you know, we had traveled extensively, my wife and I, Canada, out west and everything, and we said, you know, we would really like to do a concept that has this sort of a lodge kind of feel. And then we went looking for food to go along with it.
And unfortunately, last night, and I was wanting it horribly, the ostrich.
Yes.
But Sarah said, oh, I'm sorry, we're out of the ostrich. I said, oh, I got to go then.
Yeah.
So, no, but I had last night the mixed grill.
Mm-hmm.
And I think last night it was quail, duck breast, and was it venison?
Quail, duck breast, and rack of lamb.
That was it, rack of lamb. I'm like, oh, my. And, you know, it was $24.95. The portions were excellent. The food quality was superb. The desserts were huge. And Sarah, the young lady who served us, was absolutely spot on. Never had a glass half empty. Never once was a glass half empty. She was busy, and yet she was pleasant, fun. A lot of barbecue people were there.
Oh, yes.
And that's got to be a pretty good compliment there,
yes.
Hoss.
Yes, I think so. I think they're really into our barbecue infusion.
yeah, that's, see, now you heard me say that. If I hear one more person say barbecue infusion. But what has been the most gratifying thing for you in all the restaurants you've opened? Which is the one that you have really enjoyed doing the most?
I think definitely this one. You know, we opened this 17 years ago. And it's the people, you know, the customers that we get in who appreciate that level of dining. It's the level of employees, teammates that we've been able to build over the years. I mean, most of that staff has been there for 10 plus years. You know, so it's really a family thing. You know, the last server we hired was, you know, 3-4 years ago, besides the one that we just did. So it's been a great thing.
Well, I know it's been great for Greenville. You have been such a magnificent citizen of Greenville. You have, you know, your family built quite a tradition here. And now you decided to just basically scale down to one so you could have a life. Because
yes.
when you had four restaurants, man, you have no life.
You know, we were running around 20 hours a day, you know, opening one place, closing down the other, 3 hours of sleep, and back to work again.
And you know what? As hard as that was, I think that probably your mother and father cannot be anything more than proud of what you've done. And it was a work ethic instilled by them to you at a young age
yes.
that really gave you the drive
mm-hmm.
and the passion to not to just succeed, but to succeed beyond most people's mm-hmm. wildest dream.
Well, honestly, it's the drive to just to be able to carry on their legacy.
And that's... You know, there was an artist that sang the song "I Am the Living Legacy" of the leader of the band,
right.
And you are yep, and you are the living legacy of your parents, mm-hmm. and that is the greatest compliment you can pay a parent mm-hmm. to do what you do the way you've done it, and that is why we asked you to come on this show mm-hmm. because after reading what you've done, what you've accomplished, and your attitude and thought process, I thought I would love to share it with our listeners in the 17 countries and 42 states that listen to us every week. Share them, and hopefully one day they will get a chance to come to Greenville, South Carolina. And, yes, there's barbecue, but there's also Saskatoon.
Yeah, and we'll be here waiting for you.
Thanks.
Thank you, Kevin. Appreciate it.
Edmund Wu, everyone. Saskatoon. He is the co-owner, the suck-up to his wife, which I thought was very appropriate. I would never do that. But anyway, Chef Fred, what are you laughing about?
This cheese. It's funny. It's funny cheese.
Yeah, funny cheese. Okay, so once again, rebuild the sandwich before we go into the break.
All right, well, it's kind of an appetizer type thing, but it's toasted French bread.
Okay.
I left the spinach off for your care.
Thank God.
Green caramelized, caramelized onions, chicken breast, bacon. Now we're going to top it with a little bit of this boar's head aged white cheddar cheese.
Ugh.
And then we're going to turn the heat back on this, and we're going to melt this.
Well, when we come back, we're going to find out if Chef Fred's melted breasts are really as good as they look. It's pork, it's chicken, it's onions, it's bread, it's Fred. It's everything good right here in Greenville, South Carolina, as we are celebrating the 20th anniversary of the National Barbecue Association's conference and trade show. Chef and the Fat Man is an integral part of all the happenings that are here. I just wish they'd run some more food by here, Chef Fred, because I'm waiting for some Smithfield, baby. Chef and the Fat Man taking it to the streets of where?
Greenville.
Where?
Greenville.
South Carolina, baby. Chef and the Fat Man coming up. We're attempting to work it out to get Herschel Walker to run over here.
Woo-hoo!
And I will tell you all the things he and I have in common.
Not much. Thank you, sir.
That's good. There's a lot of laughing going on here. Chef and Fat Man taking it to the streets of Greenville, South Carolina. Oh, my friends, oh, what an experience we've had here today. It is absolutely incredible. We are Chef and Fat Man and Blue Collar Chefs live at the 20th anniversary of the National Barbecue Association's conference and trade show. Live from the beautiful Embassy Suites Golf Resort and Conference Center in where?
Greenville, South Carolina.
You got it, baby. And you know, for a Yankee, you say that pretty good there, Chef Fred.
Greenville.
Oh, now see, you ruined it.
Why?
You were just fine, sounded like a New Yorker saying it, and then you had to go and try to sound like a hick.
A hick?
Yeah, you...
I'd be careful. These ladies just perked up behind you.
Hey, listen, there are no marriage proposals here.
I don't think it's a marriage proposal that's coming.
I don't think so either. But anyway, my friends, we are here at the incredible Salute to Cutem, as everyone that's anybody in this industry is here. And, of course, the great people of Smithfields are here. Vlasic is here. Sam's Club has done an incredible job in supporting this organization. And, you know, we talked to, just a few minutes ago, we had Kel Phelps, the incoming president this year for the NBBQA, and what a great guy. You know, I mean, what a cool gig he's got. He writes about barbecue, he eats barbecue, and now he's the president of the Barbecue Association. You know, something's wrong there.
Why? He's got the gig.
I know he's got the gig, but he ought to pay.
He's a little skinny for that position, don't you?
You know, he really is.
He is. What? He doesn't have any cred.
He doesn't. I mean, you and I could be president and vice president of a lot of organizations because we do have the
not Weight Watchers.
No.
Not Jenny Craig.
No. We are the before posters for Weight Watchers.
I think
we could model. In fact, I had a lady last night. She paints nudes. And so she looks at me and she says, you know, everybody could be a model. And I looked at her and laughed and said, yeah, right. And I said, what would you paint me as? And she said, well, I'd paint you from the neck down, or the neck up. And I said, okay. And I would put a wreath of pine nuts and bay leaves
around my head
so that I would look like Julius Caesar. I said, you, ma'am, are an artist extraordinaire. She gets it.
She's also a liar.
Well, I know that, but, you know. Hey, listen, she judges. She's an international dog judge. Dog show judge?
Really?
Yeah.
What breed do you have to do?
Oh, yeah, she does Labradors.
Wow.
She's done the Westminster. She's judged all over the world.
Wow.
And so she was telling me some of the unique things that judges have to do.
Oh, yeah. You've got it.
No, you don't want to know what a judge has to do.
Oh, yeah. No, a friend of mine is a judge, not on the big circuit, but on the small circuit, and he...
You have to check the sex of the dog.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you have to check their teeth, and you have to work your way down.
No,
but I'm just...
I'm not going to walk around and reach under a dog to see if it's a boy or a girl.
And well, then, I have a question.
Yes.
Depending on how long the hair is, you should be able to
tell. Well, now, sir, that's a wise observation, but they don't want to make sure there's anything fake, so I guess you got to really reach under there and grab hold. This whole thing just scares me. But anyway, back to food.
I mean, that's a good segue. Transition. Thanks. All right, so the pork stew's been going on.
Now, how is the pork stew doing, Chef Red?
Pork stew's good.
It looks better than Campbell's. Don't look at me like that.
Because your taste.
All right, well. Oh, that's nice. Ooh, that looks good, especially out here in this warm, sunny.
Here, try that.
All right, let me try this. You didn't put any of Papa's peppers in there, did you?
Not stupid.
Jeez, good Lord.
There's one on the bottom of the spoon.
Well,
I'm going to let that go probably for about another 15 minutes.
Man, that is spot on.
Is that good?
Oh, incredible. And that Smithfield pork that you put in there
that
and smoked on the big green egg.
Well, I mean, Smithfield's great into itself.
Yes.
But in order to make it as good as it really is, it has to go with the love rub. And it was love rub down since Tuesday night.
The love rub. You're talking about, of course, none other than Chef and the Fat Man's famous Zesty Love Rub.
And it was actually, I couldn't find the Zesty. I
went original?
I went original.
The weenie.
Well, no, because I have the original recipe, so yes. I know what to do to it.
Yes, you could.
So I doctored it a smidge to bring it. I could not find, I've got a case of Zesty in the garage. Couldn't find it. I don't know if it.
You know what?
I know where you live.
I wish you'd have stole the Kia Soul instead. However.
All right, now you've got the stew working. You handed out the sandwiches. You know, some of these people might want to try some of the sandwiches a little later on.
Yeah, we can give them a try in a little bit.
You got to melt them a little bit.
Well, don't have a way to melt them. That's the problem.
I know. Well, you can throw them in a pan after you get done with the slaw.
We tried that. Didn't work because we got to get on these Cuban burgers. These are what's going to be. I'm digging these Cuban burgers.
All right, now let's first do...
So, Mike, walk me through this, because I kind of fretalized it a little bit, which isn't bad. Took a little liberty.
That's all right.
Had the balsamic vinegar in there and added the craisins to it, and I just kind of let them pop and get soft. Also took a little bit of the shallot and put in the pan with some balsamic vinegar.
Sure, sure.
Syruped it up a little bit. You shaved off the red cabbage, chopped up some almonds.
Right.
Is that enough, or you want more in there?
No, that's right.
Okay.
Why do you put almonds in it?
I really like the crunch.
Yeah, there's a texture.
Don't you feel like if I'm eating slaw, I don't want to taste like somebody's fingernails are in there.
I think next week when we're at the Big Green Egg, when you were out in New Orleans, Mike and I had to do the show with Chef Mike Farrell from La Meritage.
Yeah, I know. I was sick. I couldn't help it. You know,
you were on your deathbed.
I was.
There's no, Kevin, had one Bud Light too many. No. Well, that would never happen.
No.
Because it could never be one Bud Light too many. Anyway. He did a salad, and he called it a cabbage salad. And we're going to do that next week in honor of getting ready to go to French Quarter Fest and such. But he's got slivered almonds in that, too, and it pairs beautifully, the whole texture thing and everything else. So then we're going to take these craisins and this balsamic vinegar. We're going to add all that in here. And then I'm going to step out of the way here in a minute because we have
a very special
guest. I would have to say... Because I'm a big dog fan. The family the daughter went there. I would say without a doubt, he's probably the most famous dog next to, there's only one that is higher than Sir Herschel. And he wasn't a player. But when I say the man's name.
It wasn't Buck Ballou.
No. Oh, God, no, please. He can't. No. The man I'm going to mention.
Uga?
No, oh, no. The man that is probably revered a little bit more than Herschel.
What's that?
Larry Munson.
Well, that's true.
Because you know what? There's that call. Oh, my God, he's just a freshman. Run, Herschel, run!
Yes, I will agree.
Why did you have to do that?
Yes.
Because his name, Herschel Walker's here.
Well, what better way? You know, when you talk about giants in their industry, you talk about when it comes to pork, there is none higher than Smithfield.
True.
And when you talk about a gentleman who is more than just a legend in football, he's a gentleman's gentleman, he's a good Christian, he's a guy that has transcended his sport, and he's a true Renaissance man.
Very good call.
We can be talking about none other than the man who I detest worst on the face of the earth for what he did to my Irish in 1980.
Oh, geez.
And the Sugar Bowl, baby. That's right. Uh-oh. The sugar didn't rain down in South Bend, and they're all turning their radios.
Can't have sugar without you. G.A.
Herschel Walker. First of all, welcome to Chef and a Fat Man.
How you doing? Well, thank you. How you doing?
Great,
awesome.
Great. Well, listen, you know, you have done so many things.
Yes.
But I got to ask you, it's been bugging me. What was more difficult? Catching the ball in the NFL, doing a stint in the ballet, or MMA?
MMA.
That's tough. Because
you always got to duck. MMA, you better be ducking all the time. And football, I have a team so they can cover for me. Ballet, I had a partner, so she made me look good. But in MMA, I'm there by myself, so that's kind of tough.
One-on-one.
Yes, yes.
And what's really interesting is you came out at the end of January and said, you know what? I'm going to be the George Foreman of the NFL.
Yes.
And you know what? I thought, when I heard that, I thought, yeah. I'm going to be the next Paul Prudhomme. I'm fat, I'm ugly, I can do it, right?
But I tell everyone, you can pile it on now, we can cut it up later. So don't worry about it. We can cut all that up later.
Man, my Irish friends are just rolling over in their grave right now.
Well, they should be.
But you're going to make it back in the NFL. I have no doubt you're going to do it because you look like you are in better shape. I didn't think it was possible. Better shape now than you were back when you were playing ball.
Well, you know, it's strange because I am in better shape now than I was when I was playing ball. And I think the reason why is I got a little smarter. Sometimes when you're young, you're dumb and stupid. And I think that's where I was at that time. I got a little smarter and eating right with the Smithfield and doing the right things that made me a little bit better.
Well, you know, it's funny that you should mention that because you have your own company.
Yes.
And Renaissance Man really is a great name for a company. I mean, because it really epitomizes what you're doing.
Well, you know, I think Renaissance Man is just that that anyone can do it. And you just got to be willing to work. And Renaissance Man was a company that I created. And it was weird the way I created it because, you know, how you tell one lie and you shouldn't tell your mother said, don't tell that lie because you're going to have to tell another one. I didn't have a food company. And I had a medical supply company called Renaissance Man Medical. And someone created a product for me, and they asked me the name of my food company. I didn't have one, so I told a lie and told them it was Renaissance Man Food Service. And then I had to go on with it, but I had to get my lawyer to investigate to make sure no one didn't have that name.
When you're lying, you better have a good lawyer.
Yeah, so that means that I'm smarter than I look also. So I think that was it.
Well, here's a name that I know you'll remember well, Donald Trump.
Yes.
The Donald and I were having a conversation one night, and I said, well, Donald, if there's one thing you could pass on to somebody, a pearl of wisdom that would really benefit every human being today. He goes, no problem. Make sure you have a prenup.
Well, I can tell you, that may be important for Donald.
Yeah, well, what's
that's
for
important
him?
For Donald there because, but now he's got a beautiful wife, so he better not, well, that prenup may come in.
But you know what's amazing is that Smithfield has been a name since the 1930s. It really revolutionized and set a standard for pork that had never been set before, and it's continued to elevate. So it's not surprising that your company, the ribs, come from
Smithfield. And, you know, it's important because, you know, they have their own genetics, mm-hmm. and they've been doing that for years. That's the reason they're the biggest in the United States,
yep.
biggest pork provider in the United States. And also, you know, they're very consistent. You know, one of the things that you got to do in ribs, you got to be very consistent, and Smithfield is consistent. You see that I'm doing it. You see Paula Deen. You see all the great commercials with her. And I tell you what, there's nothing you can say bad about Smithfield. And for me, you know, I think without them, my company wouldn't be where it's at right now.
Well, they wouldn't pair with you unless you were an exceptional individual and had exceptional character and exceptional company because they can't afford to.
Well, they can't. And that's one thing that I tell everyone in my company is we have a reputation, but then Smithfield has a reputation as well. And like you said, they're not going to pair with someone that's not going to do well. And you see that they've done well because they have a lot of great people working for them. They have a lot of great people that believe in their product. And now I tell you, I love their product, you know, and it's funny because I shouldn't say this, but I can say it since I own the company, but you know, I have a chicken company, but one of my number one selling product was that fully cooked rib that Smithfield made for me.
Oh.
I sell it to the military. It has been one of the best items that I've had, and I tell you, it is going very well.
Well, it's interesting because the lovely and effervescent Brandy, who I talked to yesterday to see if we could have some time. We got into a rather heated discussion about hot dogs.
Uh-oh.
And I'll tell you what, she said she called them beef soup.
Oh,
but
well.
But one thing is for certain, that if you're going to have any pork products at all, if you're going to do it right, she started rattling off information about cleanliness, about standards, about things that you don't expect marketing people to necessarily know about. They know the marketing aspect, but they don't necessarily know the intricacies of the company. But when you read the Smithfield history and you read the dedication they had to the cleanliness. She blew me away. I thought I was going to blow her away. Completely blew me
away.
Well,
I tell you, that's important because I tell a lot of people, they start asking me all those questions. I work in the front office. I mean, I don't know all the answers to those questions, so I'm going to get back to you. But I tell you, that's one of the things that Smithfield do have is employees that know what's going on in the company, and that's very important. You know, if you're going to have a great company, a successful company, same as in football, you want every player to know what's happening, not just know his position, but learn a little bit about what's going on with your teammate, because you may have to step in and help him, or you may have to help him out on the field, and I think that's what Smithfield have in that company is people that know what's going on around them.
And no one should know it like Herschel Walker, because look at your records in the NFL. You set so many records in the NFL that are still there today, but you were a great running back, receiver, kickback. Anytime they needed the play, you could always turn to Herschel Walker and count on it, just like you count on your teammates at the office, like your teammates with Smithfield. It's a life lesson, isn't it?
No, it is. You know, that's the way business is. That's the way life is. You're not in this world by yourself. And I think people got to remember that. Yeah, I don't care how tough things get. Remember, that's someone that's rooting for you. And I think being a Christian, you know, I love the Lord Jesus. I tell people all the time that things are going to get tough. I tell everyone, things are going to get tough, but you still got to get up. You got to say, you know, I can do it. You can't give up. You got to just say, it's going to get hard. If this was a bed of roses, everyone would be doing it. If things was easy, everyone would be doing it. But, you know, everyone have trials and tribulations. But as long as you get up in the morning with the right frame of mind, things are going to be okay.
Well, one thing is for certain, we have a lot in common. You are probably 6'1".
Yes.
I'm 5'10".
See,
we're
close.
Probably about 225 pounds.
Well, 217. But well, I look it.
Yeah, how much? Wait, before we go any further, yes. How much body fat?
3%? Well, I had 2% in January. I had 2% body fat, which was weird because all the doctors have been telling me that I don't have enough body fat to play football.
You can buy some of his.
I was thinking about it.
Because he's got more than enough.
They told me I don't have enough body fat to even fight. Like I told people all the time, I said, you know what's so funny? I grew up in Georgia. My grandparents, I have a great-grandmother passed away at 105. Grandparents passed away at 97, 95. They didn't worry about this cholesterol, all this junk. Sometimes don't worry yourself to death. I think that's what we do now. We worry ourselves all the time about how we look, what we sound like. I kept worrying about that. What you want to do is feel good about who you are. We look alike. We look just alike.
I mean,
you
know, look at this striking profile.
I'm just a little taller, a little better looking. But
you know, you were going just fine until I went
off the cliff.
You've got an 8-pack.
Yes.
I got a tire.
Well, see, you need that.
But he's
got
treads.
Yeah. You need that.
And I can support a lot more than you can.
Yeah, and that's totally true. And I tell people all the time, I say, the strongest guy in the world are not those guys, those 8-pack, it's those guys with those big bellies. So you don't know that. So you may be a lot stronger than I am.
Well, my friends,
we don't want to test it, but maybe.
Let me ask a question. Running the 40.
Yes.
What was your best time?
Well, my very best time was a 4.25, and in February I ran a 4.3.
You and Kevin had the same thing.
I had a 4.25 also, minutes, 25 seconds.
That's at least trying.
I was trying the people on the clock. I was trying the people watching me.
I was trying
the medics that were picking me up off the stripe.
Oh.
But, you know, Herschel, it's a great testament. And of course, I know you've got so many other people. I mean, what's really neat was I stood back and watched you. And watched you with the kids, and watched you with the people. And when I talked to the lovely effervescent Brandy, she said, dog hater that she is, hot dog that is, she said something that most of the time in marketing, and you deal with celebrities all the time, they're always saying, well, you know, they're a nice person. They say what they had to say. But they all said, you were a true gentleman.
Oh, geez,
and the way you treated the kids, the way you treated the people, even those ones that said, just one more picture, Herschel, just one more. Let me get my cell phone. Let me get this, my grandma, you know. And you're like, always smiling, always kind, always a gentleman. No wonder Smithfield has you in their family.
Well, I'm happy to be a part of Smithfield. And, you know, and I tell everyone, it's not me. I think it's my parents. It's the people right here in Georgia. It's the state of Georgia. It's the whole United States because I didn't get here by myself. You know, I grew up with a speech impediment, overweight. And I have people that just continue to encourage me. And so I tell them all the time that we're not here alone. And no matter how tough it gets, there's someone that is still rooting you on. And they've been doing that for me all along.
And there are a whole bunch of people rooting you on right now that want you to get off our microphone so they can have
a
moment to
sign.
Herschel Walker, number 34. What an honor. What a pleasure.
Thank you, sir.
Welcome to Chef and the Fat Man and Chef Fred. I know, you know, it's really sad. I apologize. Chef Fred had to get 10 pictures signed, his underwear signed.
That's
DJ's pictures and everything else. You notice I haven't been that shameless.
Because he's a Notre Dame fan.
Well, I know. And Notre Dame, you know, I feel sorry for Notre Dame, too. But they will come back. Don't worry about it.
It
may not be, but
they will be okay. Thanks again. Herschel Walker, number 34.
Thank
what
you
a
now.
Gentleman.
Thank
Thanks
you,
so
sir.
Much. Listen, we'll talk afterwards about the pictures.
Okay, we can do that.
Right, can do that. Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, Herschel Walker.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Okay, Chef, now that the audience is leaving.
Yeah, well, there you go.
When we come back, we're going to finish up a couple more great recipes. We're going to rake some meat for you. We're going to teach you about a great new tool that can be making your life in the kitchen that much easier. Chef the Fat Man taking it to the streets of Greenville, South Carolina. Oh, man, I'm telling you, the excitement abounds at the National Barbecue Association's 20th anniversary conference and trade show here in beautiful Greenville, South Carolina, where the ducks are very happy, and I swear I saw a polar bear running across the lawn.
In Greenville, reindeer.
Yes. Wow. Anyway, one of the great things, Chef Fred, about being here is industry innovators, industry leaders, restaurateur leaders, barbecue champions are all gathered under one roof. One of the neat things that they're doing is they have this bash where the public can come in and check out new and creative and innovative ideas. Now, when you walk in, you get the Vlasic booth.
Right.
Now, man, you get to chomp down on some incredible Vlasic pickles. And I did that for the gal, and she laughed. Okay.
Hey, are you going to try out for the Aflac commercial?
No.
Okay, I just thought I'd ask.
All right, anyway. But great and innovative ideas. So I'm walking around, and I go by the Smithfield people, seeing if they had a few pork butts they wanted to get rid of, something like that, you know.
Yeah.
I come around the corner, and there's this lovely young lady and her fiancé, and they go, hey, check this out. It's the meat rake. I said, meat rake? What the heck's a meat rake? So always
inquisitive.
I walk over there, and they had the bed of rice. They had these two rakes on a stick. And I go, wow. They said, yeah, you pull pork and pull chicken. Well, I thought, what better person to show us how to rake your meat than to get the innovator and creator of the meat rake himself, the one who gave young BJ a T-shirt that should certainly get him thrown out of school, Randy Hegel. Randy, welcome to Chef of the Fat Man, my brother. What a great idea for those who just don't like to get their hands dirty in pulling their pork.
Well, thank you so much for having me here, Kevin. And, I do a lot of just amateur barbecuing, and I couldn't find a good tool, a good way to shred the pork. So I thought, you know what? I'm going to come up with it myself. And so that's what we're looking at here, the meat rake. They sell for $19.95 on the Internet at meatrake.com. And pretty civilized way to get the job done, keep your hands clean, and get her done.
Well, explain to it. I mean, when you look at it, it looks almost like a garden tool.
It does, yeah. That's kind of what it was crafted after.
And you have stainless steel tines on there.
Yep, stainless steel 304, and it's all the handles are polypropylene, so it's dishwasher safe. I don't think you're going to wear one of these down. I think it'll be a lifetime tool for you.
Well, what's neat, too, is the way you've got it crafted, it is so tightly and crafted, put together in such a way where there's no nooks and crannies where food can get stuck in there. And that's really a big selling point, especially when you're cleaning these things and you just throw it in the dishwasher. Chef Red, you know, as a chef, when you got all this pork to pull, there's nothing more tedious to get your hands in there and doing all this. We're going to have him do something that probably has never been done on air before. Randy's going to rake his meat right here on our show.
There you go.
Okay.
Well, as you can see, it's just a real simple motion. Like you said, it's a lot like a little barbecue rake, one of the little handheld ones, and you use them as a set of two, and boy, they just do a great job. You knock the fat cap off the top and scoot it over to the side, and then off you go, chopping it up.
So when you do this, it works absolutely phenomenal. I mean, you got to get some. I mean, seriously, it's one butt is okay to do by hand. You're looking at 15 minutes by the time you really break it down good. I mean, this is breaking it down in no time. So the question is, do you do this in a bowl? Do you do this in a pan? Do you do this on the cutting board? What do you recommend?
I usually just do it right in a hotel pan. That keeps all the sauces in there, all the juices, so it stays nice and moist.
So a regular bowl then?
Yep. So I just tear it down and cover it with foil, and works like a champ.
And basically you're just taking the left or the right, whichever. Now, see, what's really neat about this is you can be ambidextrous.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, so you can put one prong on one side and then grab the other and just start raking. And, man, you can knock a butt out in, what, 2 or 3 minutes?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You know what you ought to do? You ought to do that, do a commercial where you go, here's pulling a butt by hand, and here's raking your meat. And show how much, because
don't
people
give away all the secrets. Oh.
That's a great idea, Kevin.
there goes that royalty right out the door.
Right out the tube. But anyway.
But, I mean, all you do is you just take the butt and you just go down and pull, down and pull, down and pull. I mean,
just,
you know.
Tear it apart. Yeah. Works great for chicken as well.
And you know what? Let me see this one for a minute. And the tines are a little sharp at the end to get in and cut through.
Yeah.
This would be a great thing for the kids. I mean, no, seriously, as far as like, hey, you know what? Here's what we're going to do. And you show them how to do that and why and the muscle structure and everything else.
And I just thought of another great innovation. Okay?
The kitty meat rake.
For Chef Red, since he has so little hair on top, it could be a comb.
It could be a perfect comb. Absolutely.
Herschel, take care of my light work, will you? As he turns around waiting.
Yeah, I'm thinking, oh, he's back there. But anyway, now what's neat about this Chef Red is he actually has some cases that go over the tongs so you can throw them in the drawer. I mean, he's thought of everything. He is Randy Hegel. He is the creator of the meat rake. And if someone wants to get a meat rake, I mean, this is great—a great gift. Now you ship and handle and everything for $19.95.
$19.95 delivered to your doorstep for a set of two.
And you know what would really be cool? Now here's another freebie that I'm going to give you.
Oh, here we go.
All right.
So, if at the end, right here, around the circle where the handle are, just put a college logo, the big G's on there. Customize it that way.
You guys are innovators, man. I love it.
We're on the cutting edge of everything that makes everybody no money. Chef and the Fat Man, the Blue Collar Chefs. And I got to tell you, Randy, this is a great, neat, simple, purely American innovative idea. And today we have celebrated with so many great Americans. It's once again a chance to celebrate our exceptionalism as a country, as a people, as an innovator, as a creator. And you're a classic example of why we are who we are today. Randy Hegel, Meat Rake, we are Chef and the Fat Man, taking it to the streets of Greenville, South Carolina at the NBBQA 20th anniversary.
Gentlemen, thank you very much.
Oh, man, my friends. It depresses me to no end that this is the last segment of Chef and the Fat Man from Greenville, South Carolina. Chef Red, what visionaries we've had on the show today.
You know, we really have. And talking to, like, Mike Mills and, of course, Herschel Walker and the Meat Rake and Randy and such, it's just, but you know what? The whole thing was, with none of them, was there any sense of ego.
No, not at all.
You know, and I'll be the first one to say, there's chefs out there, whew, they need to widen the door because, you know what, that ego's not big enough to fit through.
No.
We know a couple of them, but anyway.
Yes, we do. But nothing typifies Chef and the Fat Man like the greatest of the best in interviews and people and celebrities, but also great recipes. And Chef Red, Papa.
Thank you very much. I knew you were going to bring my name up.
That microphone was off, by the way, so it doesn't matter.
He's lying.
No, it's all. Oh, here's your peppers back, by the way.
You didn't use them?
Oh, I did.
Okay. So, Chef Red, we didn't have time for all four recipes today, so let's run down the three that you did do. And one of them, this pork stew, is just smelling outstanding.
Well, this is the one that we started very first segment. It seems like way back when. Again, smoked a pork butt yesterday, got it up to the temp where I wanted it, got it, let it rest the whole nine yards, and then diced it up, packed it, brought it in. Then we added some fire-roasted tomatoes. Of course, the pork butt was done with love rub. Original, and then I had to doctor it and bring it up to Zesty.
To Zesty. Well,
Mike,
you know,
stole
because you have the
case.
Secret formula.
I do. There's only two of us that do. Well, three
That's
of
right.
us that
and
do.
And we can't travel together.
That's right. Just in case.
If the plane goes down, well, the secrets are lost.
One of you drive to New Orleans.
Yeah,
I know.
Well, one of us, yeah, we usually do. But to that, we've added some kidney beans and some corn, mushrooms. You can add, you know, we talked about this earlier. You could add celery to this if you wanted to.
Lentils
if you wanted to. Pour this over rice if you really wanted to. It
now,
depends.
Could you pull your pork and put it in there instead?
You could pull it or dice it.
Yeah.
It's entirely up to you. I thought dicing it, you get a little bit more
chunkiness.
Chunk of the meat, you know, which is kind of how you and I like.
Well,
you know,
people look at us and say chunky.
That's true. And they're not talking about the great candy bar.
No.
So that's been going the entire show. So that's ready to serve, and we'll serve that up in a minute. Then we bounced around and we did
The incredible chicken sandwich.
The incredible chicken sandwich, which is nothing more than grilled chicken that we did in the black cast iron pan, some bacon, cooked the chicken in the bacon fat. So what came first, the bacon or the chicken? It was the bacon, the Smithfield bacon.
Oh, I've got a factoid.
Okay, go ahead.
You know my one of my favorite commercials of all time is Maxwell the Pig.
Yes.
On the Geico commercial. Or was it Geico? I don't even remember.
Yeah, Geico.
Anyway, Maxwell the
Pig. Which is a great company, by the way. I'll have you know that I had an accident last Friday. Nothing was harmed except my beautiful 1995 BMW 525i that I kept in meticulous. Some guy decided to back up in the middle of the road and scrunch my hood. But Geico was his insurance company. Nothing but top-notch taking care of me.
Rental car, Maxwell the Pig.
Yes.
Do you know who does the voice for Maxwell the Pig? David Spade.
Really?
Yeah. He's the voice of Maxwell the Pig.
That is very funny.
Really? I would never, ever have guessed him.
No. No.
Just like Numbnuts, who did Aflac. Not anymore. Godfrey.
Yeah.
He's a weird one anyway, but whatever. We digress. But the only thing that would make Maxwell better.
What's that?
If not only did he work for Geico, if he worked for Smithfield, he would be a happy pig.
Yeah, but he'd have to give it up.
No, he could just be the honorary spokesperson.
You know, spokespig. What we'll do is we'll talk to them about that.
See, there you go. Giving out the ideas again. Mm. You know?
Speaking of ideas, we gave up Papa's incredible red slaw.
So we did. We
fritized it, but it's still good. It's really good.
Oh, wait a minute.
Sounds
he
surprised,
fritized
didn't
it, and it's still good.
Well, I changed a couple ingredients. I didn't get kernels. I used craisins.
What are recipes?
They're basic. They're starch.
That's right.
You know, and Mike will get all the credit. He'll put his name up there. Don't worry. Just kidding.
Are you going to put the craisins in there?
It has bacon in it. Yeah, no, it didn't have craisins in it.
I had pancetta. I used pancetta, which is what the recipe said that you sent me. And it has the red cabbage and it has the almonds that were lightly toasted or roasted, either way you want to do it. Balsamic vinegar reduction. I didn't add the parsley.
True. Yeah, I got you.
Sue me. Whatever. It's a recipe. I didn't see a trademark M on the
exactly.
bottom.
Exactly. It doesn't have my name on it.
And then, that's really it. That's a nice slaw that's going to contrast barbecue, whether it's pork, ribs, butt,
sure.
brisket.
And again, like we said, you can add things to it. You can take things away from it.
I wouldn't add a ton to it. I mean, I don't know that I would even switch the nut to like a cashew or something,
sure.
which I love cashews. Macadamia nut may be the only other way I'd go with that.
Be a little creamier.
Yeah, a little bit different texture and such. Red cabbage versus the green cabbage. Red cabbage has more structure, not just because it's red and there's, of course, a different color. But green cabbage is usually grown to be larger, so the head is not quite as tight. And other than that, that's, you know, we've had great interviews and such today, so I've kind of had a quasi-easy day. Great drive up here to Greenville, South Carolina.
Easy ride.
Oh, straight up 85. Couldn't go wrong. 48B.
Cruise control? Yep.
No, I couldn't do cruise control because of the weather. But other than that.
Well, you know, a great thing, too, is just north of really very few miles past Anderson, South Carolina, which truly has one of the great barbecue restaurants around in this region, and that's the Pampas Pig.
Yes.
And you know what's really amazing, we had Mike Mills on earlier and George and I were talking about the Pampas Pig.
Tell everybody who George is.
Mike said one of the great compliments that he had was that when I asked George when we first ate there last year and it was so good, he said, well, Mike Mills let me come up and work in his restaurant to teach me how to do barbecue the right way. And then it dawned on me, Sam Huff gives a lot of credit to Mike Mills. And the two best barbecue places that I've eaten at in the region has been Barbecue One by Sam Huff and the Pampas Pig over in Anderson, South Carolina. What a coincidence. Both of them give most of their credit to Mike Mills.
And you heard Mike Mills earlier. I mean, come on. That is a guy you could kick back, crack an ice cold Bud Light, and learn so much from just talking to him.
I mean, well, my friends, Chef Red, I got to tell you, it's sad.
It's over?
It's over.
Good grief.
I'm telling you, my friends, so many people to thank. We hope that you're celebrating this National PB&J Day. And for those of you who don't know what PB&J is, that is
peanut butter and jelly.
You got it. It's the National PB&J Day. Hope you go out and have a nice big sandwich and a nice big glass of milk. It's also the Pascua, Florida Day. Now that we hang out in Florida a lot, that is the state day in Florida. And St. Ermin of Langres Day. He's a patron saint of barrel makers, coopers, and vintners. My gosh, I'll bet you didn't know that, Papa.
Do you know that the 31st here a couple days ago after the show airs will be my nephew Alex's second birthday?
That is historic.
The tiny terror, Alex Culver, second birthday.
I think we should take the day off to celebrate.
The wide-eyed Culver. And we will party hardy at the Stock Norte
compound
in Snellville.
So many people to thank. Executive Board of the NBBQA, Joel Oster, and this is the current president, and the president-elect, Kel Phelps, to our good friend, Mark Ferris, to all the people involved. We thank them so much for putting on such a first-class time, party, extraordinaire, and we appreciate all of the kindness and courtesies extended to us. To the Goomba of Goodies, Executive Chef Fred Genovese, to the Papa Peppers, Mike Stock, to the sous chef extraordinaire, BJ, who was given the dubious task of running back and forth to Chef Red's car in the pouring rain because Chef Red is senior to young BJ.
That's right.
And to the keeper of the dial, she who must be obeyed, the beast of the east, the southeast, that is, Karen Jenkins, my wife. Chef of the Fat Man of Blue Collar Chefs has been presented by the Big Green Egg and by DiscoverIreland.com, the Georgia USO, Fee Brothers Bitters, the Hotel Monteleone, OXO, the McElroy Stainless Steel Big Green Egg, and, of course, by the NBBQA. Tune in next week, my friends. Same bat time, same bat channel. And we'd like to remind you, as we do in each and every week, to remember our troops and our first responders. They are the reasons we enjoy the freedoms we enjoy so much. The price of freedom
is never free.
Before we extinguish the flames of the mobile kitchens of Chef and the Fat Man, we please remind you to remember our friends in New Orleans and join us at French Quarter Fest next week,
woo-hoo!
Baby. Down in the beautiful French Quarter on Jackson Square, Chef and the Fat Man will be live. Till next week, everyone, keep your dial right here on News Talk 1160, the talk of the town. God bless everyone. Have a great weekend.